Okay, let's try and finish this this up. So let's just review where we were. The Gemara was discussing the following case. It's still here almost. But that Reuven, Reuven sold properties to Shimon, but before he did that, they had borrowed money from a Baal Kov. So he owes money to the Baal Kov. The problem is the Baal Kov is coming to collect from Reuven. Reuven doesn't have the money. The Baal Kov is going to go to Shimon to collect. So the Gemara says Reuven is still the Baal Din over here. Reuven can still be involved in the Din Torah. He's not out of the picture. Even though the Baal Kov is going to go and collect from Shimon, Reuven is still involved somewhat. So Tosis asks, he's very bothered with what, and Tosis throughout Shas asked this question, what difference does it make that Reuven is still involved over here in the Din Torah? Whatever Reuven could say, Shimon will say, or will say for him, that's known as the Din of Taninon, will advance a claim on his behalf. So one of those claims that will advance on his behalf is, of course, that of Parua. We'll say, no, I paid you already. So, you know, and, bring proof that I haven't paid. Or Mizuyov, that the shtar is a forgery. At least our Tais is of the opinion that we'll say Mizuyov. And then Tais says, well, maybe the Krovim of Shimon are Pasul Yedus, not the Krovim of Reuven, and the Gemara is coming to tell us, no, the Krovim of Reuven are also Pasul Yedus. They're also still involved in the Din Torah over here. Why are they involved? Because once the Baal Kov seizes the property of Shimon that he bought from Reuven, Shimon's going to go back to Reuven with claims. You know, either he'll be angry at him, or he's going to say, you know, want to be replenished for that which he got taken from him, you know, for the sale price. So Reuven is just involved in the Torah either way. Even if Reuven would not be,
the Baal Kov would be able to say to Reuven, La Baal Dvarim Didiyat, Shimon could advance whatever claim Reuven would have advanced.
And Reuven is always still involved in the Torah somewhat, so his Krovim would have been possibly Yedus, yeah?
Parua and Mizuyov the same thing?
No, Mizuyov means the shtar.
If you paid it off already, then the only way you could possibly be asking for more is if he still has a shtar, which would be Mizuyov.
Oh, no, he has a shtar. If he says Parua, so he says, well, why do I have the shtar? Oh, so once you have the shtar, that's proof that it's not paid.
Right.
So and if, or if it would be a mil, right, or once he has the shtar, that's going to prove that it's not, that's the exact proof that he needs to show that it hasn't been paid. But then we could advance another claim of Mizuyov. Maybe you have a shtar, but maybe it's been forged. We saw yesterday that Tosfos says in Masechtas Ksubis, over here, Ois Aleph, on the sheets for today, that no, you cannot, we will not advance a claim of Mizuyov on his behalf. It's a forgery. That's something that only the Baal Din himself could say. That's what Tosfos suggests, that perhaps that's what the Gemara here is teaching us. That Reuven could advance the title of Mizuyov, which Shimon would not be able to advance. So he suggested, based on the comments of Baruch Be'er, that perhaps they're arguing about what is the nature of the title of Mizuyov. Because of the title of Mizuyov, do we really suspect that a star is a forgery? Or maybe we don't really suspect the star is a forgery. It's a good star. Just once someone says Mizuyov, we have to validate the star. But it's not that we actually suspect that the star is no good. It's just to satisfy the suspicions of the Baal Din that it's Mizuyov. So perhaps if it's just to satisfy the suspicions of the Baal Din, there actually has to be someone here who's claiming that it's Mizuyov who would know if it's Mizuyov. And that's only Reuven. That's what Tosfos is holding in Ksubis. Our Tosfos might hold once someone advances the claim of Mizuyov, so the entire shtar is nothing, in which case, until it's validated, in which case we could advance that claim even on behalf of someone who wouldn't necessarily know if it's Mizuyov. There's no different than any other claim that will advance on the behalf of Shimon. Maybe they're arguing about what exactly the tain of Mizuyov accomplishes. Is it just to satisfy someone who has suspicions, or does the shtar really no good until it's validated once someone claims Mizuyov? However, we're going to try and suggest something else today, perhaps what could be at the heart of what they're arguing about. Maybe it's related, maybe not. So the Tosfos concludes, what then is the Gemara teaching us? That Reuven here is still a party to this Din Torah, is talking about where Shimon makes his closing arguments, Rayach Rona, he says, I have nothing else to bring. Reuven can now advance another claim. Or, let's say, they would like to go to the Beis Din HaGadol to get a better venue. If Shimon can't make it, but Reuven can make it, then they can go to the Beis Din HaGadol, because Reuven here is still a party to the Din Torah. If Reuven would be out of the picture, if Shimon can't make it to the Beis Din HaGadol, you can't change venue to the Beis Din HaGadol, because Shimon can't make it. But if Reuven is still a party and Reuven can make it, Reuven can go and litigate the case in the Beis Din HaGadol. That's what Tosfos concludes. One difference is with regards to Raya Achrona, after you make closing arguments, you can't present more evidence. So, but Reuven can? And what if Shimon can't make the trip to the Beis HaNagola, but Reuven can? That's what the Gemara is teaching us. Reuven is still a party over here to this Din Torah. We could have suggested something else. Tosfos doesn't suggest it. And that is, what if Reuven is just smarter than Shimon? He's a better debater. You know, he's a better lawyer. Reuven is smarter. Yeah?
Isn't that essentially what the
Nemugi Yosef argues? That's what the Nemugi Yosef says. Look at the Nemugi Yosef over here. Inami. Sheruven Yoiser Pikeach Mishimin. Reuven's just smarter. Liton. The Baal of the Baal Kov doesn't want Reuven there. His last name is Brafman. What do I want him over there in the case? Get out. You stay away. And the other guy is, you know. Right. Not the smartest, right? So let's take Shimon. Shimon, you come. Reuven, stay away. No, the Gemara is telling us Reuven can come and defend the case. You know. That's what the Gemara is teaching us. That he can't say that. Reuven is a better debater. So he can't keep Reuven away. V'shimon en okan. Shimnei apitropos. So he can appoint Reuven as his representative in court. That's what the Gemara is teaching us. I might have thought that Reuven can come to court. Kamash Malan, that Reuven can come to court. Yeah.
I mean, even if we say like, in terms of intellectual abilities, regardless of that, Reuven is just so much more involved in this case here. Meaning, like, he would be a better, you know, arguer, he would have the better argument than Shimon against the Baal Chov. Like, regardless of...
Oh, correct. Future. Well, he would know more.
Right. So, like, therefore, he would automatically, I guess, be this more Pikeah. Can we understand how the Nemugi Yosef like that, or...?
No, the Nemugi Yosef is saying that the difference is Reuven can now participate. No, Inam is Reuven Yosef. Let's read it again. Reuven Yosef Pikeach Mishimon. Reuven is smarter than Shimon. Liton, you know, making arguments. V'Shimon Eino Kan. Shimneu Apitropos. Shimon is not here. He can appoint Reuven as his apitropos. He can appoint Reuven to argue the case on his behalf. That's what the Gemara is teaching us. That he can appoint Reuven to argue the case on his behalf. Yeah. What's your question?
No, can't we just understand it, like, forgetting intellectual abilities, just more like, since Reuven is so much more connected to the case, he was a part of the initial deal, he knows what's going on, he has a much stronger argument than Shimon could ever make.
Yeah, but he has nothing to do with the case anymore.
Oh, so the Nemugi is that he has... Okay,
he's fine. Out of the picture. So that's the question, is he out of the picture or not? So Nemugi Yosef says, the Gemara says he's not. So Nemugi Yosef says, why, you know, in what way is he not? What difference does it make that he's not out of the picture? We're going to argue everything. No, because now Reuven can come and defend Shimon in court. And even though you're right, he's not really the Baal Din, I could appoint him as my apitropos. That's what the Gemara is teaching us. I could appoint him as my lawyer.
Okay.
Tosfos doesn't offer this answer, interestingly. Right? He doesn't say, the Gemara is teaching us that Shimon could appoint Reuven as his lawyer. So Rabbi Chanan and his Kovetz Biurim over here, he has the Kovetz Shiurim, that's the first volume. Then the Kovetz Biurim is in the second volume of the Kovetz Shiurim of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. So he writes in his comments over here in Bava Kamma, Midivreyam from our Tosfos, Nir She'ena Niton Yako Lishloach Shliach Ba'adu Lebezin. You know why Tosfos didn't say the Gemara here is teaching us that Shimon could appoint Reuven as his attorney? Because he can't. You can't appoint someone else as your attorney. You have to defend yourself in court. The Gemara said, no, because he's the litigant himself. That's why he can come. But if he would not be the litigant himself, no, then Shimon cannot appoint Reuven to represent him in court. Then Mugay Yosef is saying, maybe the Gemara here is teaching us, even though Reuven himself is really not the Baal Din, I can ask someone else to defend me in court, and the Baal Chov cannot say, who are you, Mr. Brafman? No. And that's what Gemara is teaching us. He can appoint him as a lawyer. Tosfos says no. Tosfos doesn't give that answer because Tosfos held that if the person himself is not a litigant, he's not a party to what's going on, you can't appoint someone else to defend you in court. You can't appoint a lawyer. You can't appoint a lawyer. And in fact, this seems to be a machlokas harishonim. Can you appoint a lawyer to defend you in court? It's machlokas har Tosfos and Mugay Yosef right here. But perhaps Machlokas and Masechta Shavuos as well. The Pasuk tells us in Parashas Mishpatim, over here, Oizai and Chevra, Ad hu Elohim yavod devar shneihem. This is not Hashem. This is, here it's Hashem. Yeah. It's the judges. Ad hu Elohim. Yeah, that's why it's a hey. Ad hu Elohim yavod devar shneihem. You should bring the matter before the judges. So says the Mechilta, Tanya, Minayin l'dayin shlo yamid etzlo sanigorin. How do you know that a judge should not have sanigorin? What are sanigorin? As we know, ein kategor, nasa sanigor. Or it's an attorney. Prosecutor. Talmud Omar, Adar Elohim, Yavod Devar Shnehem. They should bring their matter before the judges themselves. So Torah Tamima comments, who lived in modern times, that this is a prohibition against having a lawyer. Nire, the Rotzalomar, Shiyu HaBalei Din, and Mitzian Tano Sein Wafnei HaDayin. Everybody's got to present their claim before the Dayin. Aladei HaMaturgim U'Malitz V'Tonim. Don't have a Maturgimon, an interpreter, Malitzim, people can say things, you know, in more powerful ways, V'Tonim, or for different arguments. Elumi P'em Ba'azvim Yegiu Devreim. You got to say your argument before the judge yourself. Of course, here refers to judges. You got to bring it to the judge yourself. Because when you bring it through a lawyer, then it gets distorted. Either positively or negatively. But your arguments get distorted. That's why you hire a lawyer. Those who make their living with this, they hire somebody to argue for them. These are people of, you know, questionable ethical standards. They're willing to trick the judges in favor of their clients. The Torah prohibited this. The truth of the matter is, it's probably not what the Mechilta means. It's not what the Mechilta means, and the Torah Tamim himself admits that. Because the Gemara says in Masechta Shavuos, the same comment, Tan Rabbanan, Minayin L'dayin Shlo Yasa Sanigorin L'dvarav. No, what it means is, the judge should not act as a lawyer on behalf of one of the litigants. Meaning, he shouldn't say, Rabid, do you mean to say this? Do you mean to say that? When you only have one witness, you realize one witness will not get you to where you want to be. Won't extract money from another party. One witness can't take money out. No, you don't offer any legal advice. The judge sits, he listens to the claims, and that's it. He should not interfere at all with what's taking place. That's what it means. The Mishnah tells us in Masechtas Avos, the first parak, Mishnah Ches, Al Tas Atzmecha Ka'orche Hadayonim. Don't make yourself like the Orche HaDayanim, like those who are arranged, Dine Torah, meaning like a lawyer. What it means is the judge should not interfere with the litigation and argue on behalf of one party or another. It does say in the Shulchan Aruch, it's interesting, in Simeon Yitzayin, if the judge sees that one of the litigants is stammering or can't organize his thoughts, he's allowed to help him out a little bit. But the Shulchan Aruch says, you got to be very careful with this. Shulchan Aruch itself says, you got to be very careful not to violate Altas Asmecha Orche HaDayanim. I can't prompt one of the litigants to say something that would benefit him. Okay, so that's what it really means. That Altas that he shouldn't Minayin means he shouldn't act like a lawyer. Doesn't mean that you can't have a lawyer in court that I hire. The Torah Tamima has his, you know, pet peeve, which is the lawyers, and many share that pet peeve. But that's probably not what the pasuk means. The pasuk, you know, or chazal mean. What they mean is the judge shouldn't act like a lawyer. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm assuming in both these cases, it's like it doesn't really matter how knowledgeable they are of halacha and like the din Torah or not. It's like that's on the judge. Meaning, like this is assuming like it doesn't really matter if this guy's like an amaretz and this guy's, you know, talmud chacham, or, you know, it doesn't even need to be talmud chacham. He has like, you know, basic understanding of halacha. Like they both need to argue their case, but you know. The guy who knows halacha is like a little bit more, you know.
Yeah, it's helpful. It's helpful to have a toein. They call it now a toein.
Right.
Before, but they didn't. It's a toein. Yeah, it helps when the guy could show, hey, judge, what about this sifin shulchan aruch? What about that? What about this ksois? What are you going to do about this?
The guys on litigation versus the, you know, the other
It guys. Helps without a doubt. It helps. Lawyers help. There's no doubt about that. Yeah.
You say the judge helping the fellow who's stammering, he's sort of like putting them on equal ground.
Yeah, this guy's obviously impaired. So either because of his emotions or because of he's just, you know, not good at organizing his thoughts. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The judge is allowed to help him on that, to prompt him on that. But to but to prompt him in terms of his arguments, yeah. that not. Or in terms of information of halacha, you know, to how he should better phrase his argument that it will be more effective in halacha, you're not allowed to do that. So that's al tas asmacha korachai dayan. I mean, that's probably what this Gemara means. However, the Rashba on that Gemara has these two opinions. What about not the judge interfering, appointing outside counsel? Can you do that? Those who say that you can do such a thing. And then he quotes, that's the opinion of the Aruch Rabbeinu Hananel. And then he quotes from Rav Sadia Gaon and the Rif that you should not do, you should not have, you cannot have a lawyer in court. You have to argue, you present your arguments yourself. Adhu Elohim, you avod devar shneihem. Without the assistance of a lawyer. Interestingly, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch that the plaintiff is entitled to counsel and not the defendant. You would have thought just the other way around. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, because the venue is determined by the defendant, so he's at home. The plaintiff, who's on the road, might not speak the same language as the place where the court case is taking place, so the plaintiff is entitled to counsel and not the defendant. But either way, the Aruch HaShulchan tells us over here, and this is the practice in our times outside of the Beis Din of America, which doesn't allow Tohanim. They don't allow as their own policy. They don't allow lawyers. But the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the practice, and that's the practice of many Bate Din, is to allow Tohanim. That's the practice in Eretz Yisrael. These guys make a lot of money. V'chol zeh midina aval achshav haminag b'chol Bate Dinim shegam anitva ma'amin morsha. Even the defendant is entitled to a lawyer, the kol shekena tovea, certainly the plaintiff, they're entitled to lawyers. You can make whatever rules you want. The Beis Din of America, the RCA Beis Din, has a rule, no Tohanim, because they don't want to deal with these guys. But they, you're entitled to appoint counsel, even though it's machlokas. Where is it machlokas? Rishonim, it's machlokas in the Rashba, over there in that Gemara Sefer Shavuos, the law, the judge can't interfere. But can I hire someone else to argue my case on my behalf? Mm-hmm. And that's machlokas, perhaps Tosafot the Muka Yosef. The Muka Yosef said, what our Gemara here is teaching us is that Shimon can hire Reuven as attorney. That's what our Gemara is teaching us. Reuven is really not the party here anymore. He's not the litigant anymore. It's Shimon. Shimon has the property that the Baal Chov is going to take. What the Gemara means to tell us is that he can appoint Reuven as his lawyer. And Tosafot doesn't say that, says Rabbi Chanan. You know why? Because you can't appoint him as a lawyer. You can never appoint outside counsel who's not a litigant in the party in the who's not a party to litigation himself. Okay, but getting back, we left off yesterday with a question. Taisa says, what difference does it make that Reuven here is a party to this Din Torah? Even if it would just be Shimon, we're going to advance whatever claims we can on behalf of Shimon. That was the halacha that's known as Taninon. We're going to say it on his behalf. Whatever Shimon, Reuven could have said, we're going to say on behalf of Shimon, we're going to say Taninon. Well, advance the claim on his behalf. So we asked yesterday that the Gemara has later on, Maseches Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the following rule. The Gemara says, if a person lent money to somebody else, and we all agree that he lent him money, that's not in the dispute. If that itself is under dispute, you got to bring proof to take someone else's money. If that guy, we all agree that he borrowed money, but he's any Yodea in Praiticha. He's not sure if I paid it back. If he says any Yodea, if he'll be sunny, I'm not sure I ever borrowed in the first place, you're believed, and the other guy's got to bring proof. But let's say he says any Yodea in Praiticha, he says, I know I borrowed, he's an honest guy. He says, I'm not sure if I paid back. You're chayev to pay. You're chayev to pay. Why? Why? Because the other guy is certain that you haven't paid back. He said, I don't know. If you say I have paid back, so you have the other guy's got to bring proof. But over here where we say, everyone agrees that you borrowed, and you're not sure. You're not sure. If you paid back, then you're chayev to pay. Similar to like a bari, v'shema. This guy's certain, you are not certain, so bari adif. So this guy wins. He's saying you borrowed, we all agree you borrowed, and he's saying you haven't paid back. I don't know. So then he has to bring proof. If let's say he says you borrowed, and I say, I don't know if I ever borrowed money from you, I never remember that. So then the other guy's got to bring proof. That's not good enough to take someone else's money. It's not good enough that you are certain. But if we all agree that you were chayev, and now you're not certain if I paid back, Bari Aleph. So let's get back over here 1 minute. We're going to advance a claim for Shimon. The Baal Chov is going to come to collect. He's going to take the property. Shimon's going to say, I paid you. How would Shimon know if Reuven ever paid? He would never know. We're going to say it on his behalf. Taninan. For 1 minute, that Taninan is only, presumably, a Shema. Maybe I paid. He can't say, certainly I paid, because how would he know that he certainly paid? We're going to say Shema. So if it's a Shema, he's not sure, and this guy is a Buri, this guy is certain, and we all know that the loan took place, that's not under dispute, why don't we say that he should be victorious? Even though we're going to say for him, Shema, per paranti, maybe I paid, or maybe Reuven paid, but it's still a Shema, so he should win. What does Taninan help? What is the fact that we're going to advance a claim on Shema's behalf help? It's still only a Shema. You hear the question? Yeshivish question. So one possibility is that which the Nesivah says. Nesivah asked this question. The Achreidim asked the question. So the Nesivah says over here, Ois Gimel. Second and the third line after the period. V'lazen ire. De'eni yodem pratika b'makom d'lo havale l'meida poter. If the guy says, I don't know if I paid you back, and there was no way I could have known if he paid you back, then you're potter. So he says, what's the rule? The only time any Odeh and Praticha is Chayiv, says the Nesivus, is only if Havalei Lameda. You should have known. Why does that matter? You should have known. Because when you say Shema, maybe I paid, maybe I didn't, and this guy's buried, this guy is certain. So, if you paid, you would probably remember it. So not only are you not certain, there's most people when they pay things remember it. Yeah? I think most people, if you pay bills, you remember it. Sometimes it could happen, you don't. But usually, if you paid a bill in a restaurant, you remember that you paid the bill. So if this guy doesn't remember, what does that indicate? Probably didn't pay. He's just getting cheap now. So he said, well, maybe I paid. No. Yeah, but if you should have known, meaning you would have written the check yourself, you probably remembered if you paid or not. So, says the Nesivus, that's why Bari Adav here. This guy's certain. You're not sure. Yeah, but you know what you're not, your uncertainty demonstrates? Probably didn't pay. So he says, but that's only if Havale Lameda. You should have known, meaning you would have been the one to pay. We're going to advance a claim on behalf of Shimon. What are we going to say? We're going to advance a claim on his behalf known as Taninan. What are we going to say? Parati. We're not sure. Maybe Reuven paid, maybe Reuven didn't pay. But does my uncertainty demonstrate, undermine my argument that probably didn't pay? No, because I would have no reason to know if I paid. Who is the only person who would know if we paid? Reuven! Oh. Says the Nesivus, that's why Taninan here is effective. I would have no way of knowing if I ever paid. That's the argument of the Nesivus. So whenever people, Shecht always likes to say this over in the name of Soloveitchik, whenever Talmidim would come for Faher to get into Volozhiny Yeshiva, Reb Chaim would ask them this discussion. He would say, what is the halacha of Eini Yodeim Praticha? I don't know if I paid you back, below Havalei Lameda, where there is no way he could have known. That was the entrance, one of the questions on the entrance exam. That's what they said. That was the kasha. Any yodeim praticha below hava. They didn't have mesira then, right? Below havalei lameda. So if you were a talmud chacham, you would say the nesivus. Below havalei lameda, your pater. And Reb Chaim would say wrong, because he disagreed with this nesivus. Okay, but that's the argument of the nesivus. Reb Chaim is a different argument. Doesn't matter. The Nesivus, that's the argument of the Nesivus. Reb Chaim didn't like it, and he would get you, he would get you on the Faher if you answered the Nesivus, because he disagreed with the Nesivus. He disagreed with the Nesivus because of another sif. Look, the Nesivus asks right there. He says, "Ela hakshus mechen v'niu poalim." Let's say, which we all do nowadays, a guy runs a business, gives his payroll over to a payroll company. So, who knows? And then the worker comes to the owner. He says, you didn't pay me. He says, I don't know. He says, I agree, I owe you money. I might have paid. I don't know. So the halacha is, in Hashem Yichemini Poalim, the Chayiv Balabayas. He's Chayiv. Oh, but how is the Balabayas ever to know I handed over my payment to a payroll company? How is there any way I possibly could have known? So don't you see, even below Havalei Lameida, there's no way I could have known any Odei and Praitichas Chayiv. If I go to my employer and say, you haven't paid me, he says, I don't know, I hope we paid you. I don't know. So who's Chayiv? The employer. It's Chayiv to pay again. Why? He handed it off to a payroll company. That was Reb Chaim's kasha. See, he disagreed with this Nesivus. But the Nesivus already explains this question. And he says, no, there it's different because you handed it over to an incompetent payroll company. That's your fault. Get better outsourcing. Don't outsource it to a negligent payroll company who can't pay its bills. Or you don't know if you paid your bills, or can't bring proof that you paid your bills. That's on you. That's all right. That's how the Nesivus gets out of it. However, perhaps, Rabbi Chalap used to always say, when they came to the Faher, to get smicha, used to be an oral bechina. Now everything is written. It used to be oral, and it used to be three people there. There was the Rav, when he got smicha, or Mendel Zaks, who was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim, and the Bochen in Yeshiva, and Rav Moshe Shatzkis. So that tells you when Rabbi Chalap was getting smicha. Rav Moshe Shatzkis died in the 50s. So Mendel Zaks later, and the Rav, of course, later. So they learned mikvahs that year, he told me. So he said when he came to the Faher, they asked him a certain question on mikvahs. So he said, this is what we said in Shir. So the Rav said, wrong. He said, Rav, you said this in Shir. He said, wrong. So he said, but you said it. He said, yeah, and then we said something else the next day. So he said, that was the right answer. This was wrong. Said, yeah, no. That was the olden days of Faher. So same thing over here. You knew the Nesivus. Still doesn't matter because Reb Chaim disagreed. Tomorrow we disagree. That's still not good enough. Wouldn't fly in our times, but that's the way they did it. However, Rav Shechter always suggested that perhaps there's another answer over here, which is a little bit more satisfying, which will open up for us what exactly Taninan is all about. Again, the question is, the Yeshiva Shakasha is, how could Taninan work to help Shimon? All he is a Shema, but the Halacha is Eini Yodei and Praiticha, I'm not sure. So then you still have to pay. So what does it help over here? He said, maybe Reuven paid, maybe Reuven didn't pay, but I don't know. But then you should still be obligated to pay. So he said, no, maybe Eini Yodei and Praiticha is only Chayv of Havalei Lameda. Here Shimon has no way of knowing. Reuven is the only one who would know. Rav Shechter suggested, no, perhaps Taninan is in fact a Tainas Bori. It's not a Tainas Shem, it's a Tainas with certainty. Because look over here, the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Basra the following. Over here, Oiz Dalet. Boy minei Rav Amar mei Rav Chisda. Hamafket etzel chavero b'shtar. A guy gives something else to somebody else with a document. Va'amar lo hechzarti lecha. He says, I returned it to you. Mahu, what's the halacha? So mi aminan. Let's say a guy says, I returned it to you, and the other guy is a shtar. Would he be believed? The answer is no, he would not be believed. He would not be believed. Because the other guy is a shtar. If you actually returned it, your proof is to take back the shtar. Yeah, but what could he say? He could say, which would help him in all circumstances, an einus occurred. A shoel is putter for onsim. So you could say, No, shoel is chayv in onsim. Here he's not a shoel, though. He's a regular shomer. Hamafkid etzel chavero. Not a shoel, hamafkid. So he'd be putter in onsim. He's a regular shomer. Would be putter if an ones, if an accident occurred that was beyond his control. So mahu mi amrina migo di bayomar nensu. He could have said nensu. So mehemin, believe him when I say that I returned it to you. O dilma, Amalei shtach miyodim my boy. No, you're saying you returned it. That's what you're saying. You're not saying that an onus occurred. You're saying you returned it. And I have my shtar, which proves you did not return it. If you would have returned it, you would have asked for the shtar back, the IOU. Somar says, no, mehemin. He's believed. He's believed with amigo that he could have said, believing when I say I returned it, because I could have said an onus occurred, and I'm a shomer would have been putter and onsen. Okay. The Gemara says the same thing is true for Yesomim. Yesomim come, they borrowed, their father borrowed something, or was it, watching something, and someone comes to get it back. They say, or we're going to say on their behalf, we returned it to you. We returned it to you already. Yeah, but the other guy still has the shtar. If you returned it, he would have asked for the shtar back. So can we say, so the Gemara says, no, Yesomim are believed with their claim, because if their father were alive, the father could have said, Ne'ensu. The father could have said that an onus occurred, he would have been pater. So the same way the Gemara says, we believe a person himself, that he returned it, because Migo, he could have said, Nensu, or he would have been believed. Like, if I wanted to lie, I would have lied better. Would have said, Nensu, believe me that I'm telling the truth. The Gemara believes him. The Gemara says the same thing will be true for Yesomim. That we'll believe them when they say they returned it, or we're going to argue on their behalf, Tanina, that they returned it, because they could have said, Nensu. However, Taisus there writes that we cannot actually advance a claim of Nensu. You can't say Nensu. Because Nansu is not common. Taisus says, when it comes to Taninan will advance a claim on your behalf. So Taisus says, we will only advance a claim of a Taina d'shkiach, something that's common. Nansu is not Shkiach. Nansu is not Shkiach. Eino Shkiach. But Hichzarti is Shkiach. So Taisus says, we'll say Hefzarti, but we cannot say Nansu on behalf of the Yesomim. The Yesomim don't know anything. They got it from their father. But someone's coming and saying, that's ours. We say, no, it's not yours. We returned your item already. That's what we'll say on their behalf. We're going to argue on their behalf. Tanina. So Taisus says, you can't argue on their behalf Nansu, then an onus occurred to your item, but we can argue Hefzarti. And just like the person himself could have said Hefzarti, so we'll believe them with Hefzarti. So Ramban asks the following. The Ramban of the Muhammad asks that if this is true, that you only say Tanina by the Taina de Shkiach, a common argument, not by Nansu, the Eino Shkiach, how can you say Hefzarti? Why is Hefzarti believes, Chevra, that I returned it? Because what could I have said if I wanted to lie? I could have said Nansu. So even though the guy has a shtar against me, I say I returned it, he has a shtar. If you return it, why do I have a shtar? I say, no, believe me, Migo, because if I was lying, what would I have said? I would have said Nansu. Says the Ramban, but if you're not believed to say Nansu, or we wouldn't offer Nansu on your behalf because it's a taina that's not Shkiach, how can you believe the Hechzarti? The only reason you believe the Hechzarti is a Migo that you could have said Nansu. You could have said an onus occurred. Says the Ramban, if you can't have this, you can't have this. He says, Nafal ha-yesoid, nafal ha-binyan. If there's no foundation, there's no building. So the Ramban says, must be, we say, even Tanina by a Taina, the Eino Shkiach. We'll say it even by Nansu, because otherwise, how can you be believed? With Hefzarti? By the Yesomer. So if Machlok between Tosas and the Ramban, would we say Tanina by a Taina, the Shkiach only, or even by a Taina, the Eino Shkiach? But how would Tosas answer the argument of the Ramban? How can you believe with Hechzarti if you're not believed with Nansu? The only reason Hechzarti is believed is because of Nansu. So Shechta suggested the following. He suggested, according to the Ramban, what Taninan is all about is we're going to help you make an argument here. You have no way of knowing. You're Yisraimin. You're a Lokeach who bought something. The Baal Chov is coming to collect from you. How would you know anything? We'll advance a claim on your behalf. But we're only going to advance... we'll advance a claim on your behalf. Whatever claim Reuven might have said, we'll say on your behalf, and you'll be treated like Reuven. We're going to treat you like, you know, like the Baal Din over here. So just like the Baal Din could have said an uncommon claim, so we'll advance an uncommon claim on your behalf. We not only have to advance common claims, we're going to treat you like the Baal Din yourself. The Pasuk says in Sefer Mishlei, Psach Picha Le'ilem, we'll help the guy who's a mute. We'll help him out. We'll say whatever claims you couldn't have advanced, because how would you have known? We'll say it on your behalf. But then, we can even apply it to a Taina de'Eino Shkiach. Why are we limited to a Taina de Shkiach? Even a Taina de'Eino Shkiach. But then the Ramban's question is fair. If Hakzart is only believed with Nansu, and you're not going to say Nansu, how can you believe with Hakzart? The Ramban says, no, we'll advance Nansu. You can say Hakzart, and that's what you believe with Hakzart. Migo didn't answer. Taisus holds no. Taisus holds Taninan is not about that at all. If it would be about that, you'd have be only a Taina Shema. We can advance a claim in your behalf, but we can't make you certain. We can advance a claim. Throw it out there. You can't say anything. We'll throw it out there for you. Taisus tells us not what Taninan is all about. What Taninan is all about is that it's incumbent upon Beis Din to consider every reasonable claim. That's what Taninan means. Not that we speak for you, but as a judicial body, we have to consider all reasonable claims. So therefore, Taisvah says, it's only by a Taina de Shkiach, and we'll believe Hexarti, even though Nensu would not be believed, we're not convinced that Taina de Shkiach, Hexarti is a legitimate claim that the Baal Din himself could have advanced. So we are incumbent upon us to consider every legitimate claim. If that's the case, that we have to consider every legitimate claim, then a Taninan is no longer a Shema, we have to consider the Taninan of a Bari. We have to consider that Parati of a Bari. Because it's not that we're going to advance a claim for you, you can't speak, because how would you know? So we'll advance a claim for you, but we can't make you certain, we can only make you a Shema, and we can even advance a claim that's Eino Shkiach. Tosafot says, no. What Taninan is all about, that we'll speak for a party who can't speak for himself, is that it's incumbent upon us as a judicial body to consider every legitimate or reasonable claim. And therefore, we have to consider a Bari as well, someone who's certain that he paid, not only someone who's uncertain if he paid. But that's why Taisvah says it's limited to a Taina de Shkiach. We have to consider reasonable claims that are somewhat common, not reasonable claims that are never common. All right. Let's say something quick on the parasha.